On this episode of Still Loading, Legacy Comics. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this bonus episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Koval, and today we are going to be talking to my friend Pat Hickey Jr. about his newly minted, newly created comic book publishing company, Legacy Comics. Pat, how are you doing today?
What's up, Josh? A pleasure to be here, as always. Always fun to catch up with you.
Yeah, man. I mean, you've been on twice now. We interact a lot off mic on Instagram and whatnot. Getting to know you has been one of my favorite aspects of this podcast, and I'm really happy that we can now share some of the amazing shit that you've been working on. And I'm not just saying that because you're my friend. I'm saying that because you really do a lot of shit, and we need to share it. So besides being the author of the best-selling Minds Behind the Video Game series, you also are the editor-in-chief of ReviewFix.com, and now you can add, when you were last on, you were also doing video game voice acting and whatnot, Now over the last year, you've added a bunch of new things to your resume. You've become a comic book creator, correct?
Yeah, this year alone, I've published four comic books, same series, four comics, Condry. And I started my own comic book company with an awesome video vlogger, artist, writer, John Svedisi. So, I mean, it's been crazy. I'm doing weekly voiceover for Mega Cat Studios for their This Week in Gaming History. I'm working on like six games right now as a voice actor that are all like currently in development. So, I mean, it's been insane this year. This year has been wild.
So much for the pandemic slowing people down. You've sped up because of the pandemic. Yeah. We were talking a little bit off mic about how being able to work from home has really freed you to be able to do all these things. And besides all the stuff you just mentioned, because of Condry being, from what I can tell, a pretty decent success for your first run as a comic book writer, you now started your own publishing company called Legacy Comics.
Yeah. So what ended up happening was I wrote Condry when I was about 18 years old. And this is way before my journalism career. This is way before voice acting. And I just wrote it because I felt like I had a story in me. And I could never find an artist. And then I would find an artist and then they want to do this and they want to do that. And I'm just like, no. I really believed in the story. But then what ended up happening was like every two or three years, I'd go back to the story and I'd really polish it and tighten it up and stuff. And as the years went on, you know, I was editor in chief of two college newspapers. I became a college professor. I was an editor at NBC. I wrote for like 35 newspapers. I started ReviewFix. I started writing for Old School Gamer magazine. I started the Minds Behind the Games book series. So it's just like Condry always was like on the back burner. And then just what ended up happening, like in the middle of 2019, I went on Facebook and I was just like, yo, I need an artist who's going to take this seriously because I really feel like I have something special here. And my friend Tommy introduced me to Kieran Quinn. And we did like a 6-page, they call it in comics an ash can. So it's kind of like a teaser comic. Like it's just like a short story, like with like a clear beginning, middle, and end to kind of like show a potential reader like what your series is all about. So we did that. And we were getting ready to pitch that to like Dark Horse and Image Comics, and the pandemic hit. So that kind of like killed it. And then I remember what happened was I get pitches all the time from musicians, from actors, from video game developers that are like, interview me for ReviewFix or for Old School Gamer or for anywhere. Just, you know, they want me to talk to them. And this comic book publisher messaged me and he's like, oh, I'd love for you to interview me. And I Googled him and there was like nothing online about him. They were like right out of the, you know, they were like literally like just born.
It was just a startup at that point then.
Yeah. Yeah, and the name of the company was Lesser Known Comics, ironically. We did the interview, and it got some really good traffic. And then after that, he's like, oh, thank you so much. If there's ever anything that I can do for you. And I was just like, So I showed him the comic. He instantly fell in love with it. We were, for the 10 months that we were there, my artist is still there. My artist is working on a series with the owner of the company, which is good. We were their flagship book. We were their most downloaded book. I did a whole bunch of signings, and like we were.
I mean, you've been advertising the hell out of it, and not like just, and it's to the point where I'm just like, God damn, I really need to read this at some point. I've been so busy myself, I haven't been able to.
It really took on a life of its own, like on Facebook, on Instagram, and stuff like that. And it's just basically the tale of a guy that's on the hunt for the people that are responsible for his father's death. And he's just like a victim of the New York City foster care system. He's homeless. He's never had anyone like show him any type of, you know, positive attention his entire life. And he's 6'9". He's 320 pounds. He's really big, scary.
Holy shit. He's and, like Zdeno Chara size.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he's like Zdeno Chara with like Scott Norton's body, or like Bam Bam Bigelow's body. You know, like he's just like this really nasty bastard that like doesn't understand like manners and things like that. It's kind of like if you combined like Spawn, Highlander, and like the Count of Monte Cristo with like an 80s or 90s like noir
RoboCop-esque type of. Well, RoboCop's not a noir.
Well, we'll talk about RoboCop later, because I'm working on another comic that definitely like borrows a little bit from RoboCop. But it's like if you like comics like Spawn and Sin City, you'll totally love Condry. Like, it's not all dark. There's going to be some comedic moments from time to time, because it's like you got to break up all like the killing and the this and the that. But we did four issues with Lesser Known Comics, and they all just were super well received. And it just got to the point where I was like, I can do the promotion side. I can do the editing side. I can do the marketing side, like all by myself. And I'm just like, I was ready to move on and just take this to another level. And then there was other series that I wanted to do. I'm sitting on two other like great scripts. And, you know, I was on John Svidesi's podcast, and it was just like, we started talking, and he lives literally like two blocks away from me. And I was like, dude, you want to do this? And he's like, yeah. So then we brought in like Kieran, who's the artist for Condry, and we brought in my friend Afram Jambalai, who is writing a comic for us too. And it was just like, boom, we have our foundation. And then we went to Kickstarter. And like I said, off mic, I was not expecting to get funded on Kickstarter in less than 5 hours. Our Kickstarter is going to be going on through like January 4th. We're announcing like a ton of stretch tiers in the coming days, coming weeks, and stuff like that. We're working with some amazing people that we haven't even announced yet. But it's just like a testament to like, if you have an idea, you've got to just like see it through. And like the pandemic, there's so many creatives that I know that are just like, I can't create right now. And I'm just like, but you're a creator. And they're like, but look what's going on in the world right now. And I'm like, yes. And people are going to look to you to create, because you're a creator.
You've got to look to yourself to create, to kind of like get, I like for the, with this podcast, I use it as a way, as an outlet to escape the bullshit from what's going on in the world. Like I regardless of opinions of everything that's going on, it's still stressful regardless of what side of any argument that you're on. And it's just, you need some type of escape. And that's what this is for me. So if you're, like you said, if you're a content creator, just go create. So not only can you have an escape for yourself, but anyone that finds you and finds your work, it's an escape for them too.
Absolutely. You know, and it's like, I have to say the people that have supported the minds behind the games book series over the past like 5 years have totally embraced Condry. Like when the Kickstarter started, I was getting pledges from people that were fans of my nonfiction work. So it's just like, writing fiction is so much fun. It's super difficult, because you don't want to be cliche. You don't want to be, you know, you don't want it to be a joke. And it's really different. Like when I write a Minds Behind the Games chapter, it's just me listening to the recording, doing my research, setting the chapter up properly so like the creator gets like the credit that they deserve. It's very selfless, you know? And writing fiction is so different. So it's just like, I really did not know if fans of my nonfiction were going to jump on board, and like in crazy numbers, they absolutely have. So it just, it's so nuts. It's so nuts to have like that type of support. It's like somebody being a professional wrestler and having like a nice fan base, and then deciding to, oh, you know what? I'm going to be a ballet dancer. And then going to like the Met and seeing that the audience is like filled with the same people that supported you in something completely different. So, you know, it's just like, I feel the last 2 weeks I've felt super validated and super appreciated in ways that like I really haven't felt my entire life. So it's just like, for all the people that have like, you know, supported this, it's insane. Yeah. It's insane.
That's great to hear. And one of our mutual friends, I remember, did a cosplay of Condry, Abby, right? She didn't.
Yeah.
Abby of Dearest Abby fame. She, of Danky Kang fame.
Yeah.
Danky. Mm-hmm. Who is Danky Kang?
I love that meme.
I do too. It's one of my favorites. Oh, whenever she has one of those question things on Instagram, one of my go-to responses is always something Danky Kang related. If I can find a way to squeeze it in there, I just do it every single time. She had one up today where it was a picture of Beetlejuice, Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice, and she's like, who is this? Wrong answers only. And I'm like, it's Danky Kang.
Yeah, oh my god, that's great. Yeah, like
it's not even that good of a joke, but it made me smile.
Oh no, it just made me smile. So yeah, Abby totally surprised me. So like one of the things that I made sure that I did when I was at Lesser Known, because Lesser Known had this thing built into their business practices that they were giving away comics all of this year. Mm-hmm. And I made sure that like people like Abby and friends that I know that would support me, that I would get them books by hook or crook. I would mail them books. And I mean, it probably cost me a couple of $100 to get books out to as many different people as possible. But it was just like, Abby is one of those people that like she owns 3 out of my 4 books. She's super supportive. So I was like, you know what? I'm sending you a copy of Condry. And I did. And she shocked the hell out of me with that picture. You know, I was like, I was not expecting that. That was one of those days where I was just like, all right, we're doing this. Cause I mean, I largely left LKC because of like creative differences. You know, I just felt like I needed to move on and stuff like that. But there were so many moments where I was just like, we could hit so many more people if like we did things differently. And that's the reason why we have Legacy, because John and I are doing things differently. But like to get support, like unrequested support and admiration from somebody like Abby means like the world to me, you know?
I can understand that. It's one of those things when someone shouts you out that you weren't expecting to. Mm-hmm. It's the best feeling in the world. And Abby is just such an awesome person. She's great. I was on the Land Parties podcast somewhat recently, and they were asking me like, what was my favorite episodes of the podcast? Mm-hmm. One, of course, was my wife's episode, not because I have to say that, but because legitimately that was one of my favorites. I swear. Mm-hmm. But the other one was from this year. It was the one I did with Abby, just because I knew so little about competitive Donkey Kong, and she's just such an easygoing person to talk to.
Yeah.
And it's awesome because, and through that, through getting to know her there, like her and I will talk about our kids and stuff like that. It's become like a fun friendship. It's been great.
Oh yeah.
But that's great to hear. And it's interesting for me to hear what Condry is actually about. Cause I, the artwork I had when I first saw it, it's a unique style of artwork by who's the artist again? I'm blanking on the name. You said.
Kieran X. Quinn. It's basically, Kieran, I mean,
okay.
One of the reasons why I appreciate him so much is because two of my favorite artists are David Mack and Eric Powell. And like David Mack uses watercolor. And Eric Powell is a little heavy on the inks, but like in the best way possible. And Kieran is like a perfect, it's like Eric Powell and David Mack had this like this baby, you know, and it's Kieran, you know. You would not expect a comic as dark as Condry to be watercolored, but it is, and it just works. You know, it really does.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at your Kickstarter page right now, and it has like, mm-hmm. you know, the still for the video is one of Condry with like his big chain, or sorry, yeah. his big spiky mm-hmm. wrist bracelets.
Yeah.
And the visual of it is just, it's very striking the way that Condry looks, and it kind of reminds me a little bit, and this is not, you know, if I make this comparison, it's not to like, what is it? I don't even know who, because I know so little about comics. It's not necessarily to like compare the two, but the art, the art for the Dark Knight comic books Frank Miller, right? He wrote those. The artwork very much reminds me of that, where it's not necessarily, it's not crisp lines, you know, it's very, it's very gritty. And that kind of, just like in the Dark Knight, from the way you described Condry, it very much embodies the entire vibe of the character.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, there's pictures of on Instagram where I'm just like taking pictures of like the neighborhood that I grew up in, and it's still to this day, it's just like a filthy, disgusting mess. And it's just like, this is the Brooklyn that like I wanted to show people, and not the Brooklyn that they see in mafia movies and stuff. So like Kieran has been able to bring that life in just a wonderful, wonderful way.
That's great to see. So what are some of the other comics that are on the Legacy Comics publishing label? Or is that, would that be the right way to describe it?
Yeah, that's okay, perfect. Okay. Look at you. You for PR. That's great. So we have five comics. So obviously one of them is Condry. The next one is Athos, which is written and illustrated by John Svedesi, who is also our co-owner and our chief creative officer. It's our only superhero tale. So it's basically a story of a person who was supposed to protect Earth. That was like his job, to be like the protector of Earth. But what ends up happening is he gets stuck in this like sort of stasis for thousands of years, and then just wakes up and sees that humanity has evolved. And basically all of the people that he was protecting Earth's inhabitants against, that's like the entire population now, you know? So it's like he was trying to protect the Earth from like mutants and people with abilities and stuff. And now it's just like, now the Earth that he wakes up to is covered in people like this. So it's just like, what does he do? And he decides to kill them. So it's a, it's an interesting take on a superhero tale. I love the design of the character. I literally just edited the script for the Ashcan for Athos Zero. And, it's really tight. So that, like, the thing is, like, you look at John's work and you're like, yeah, this is totally like 90s inspired and stuff. But like, the guy has writing chops too. I'm really excited for people to read that. So that we have Athos. Then we have a book called The Legend of the Night Owl, which is written by Afram Jambalaya and also illustrated by Kieran Quinn, who does Condry. And it's basically like, if you could take the movie The Warriors and combine it with like the Streets of Rage video game. That's basically what like Legend of the Night Owl is. It's a kung fu, like it's like a kung fu noir. It's a story of a man and his mother and their journey to like just survive the mean streets of Brooklyn. And like, she can't even, this old lady can't even walk the streets in safety, you know? And he runs like a karate school and it's about to close, and he's got to make some really hard decisions and stuff like that. So that's a really fun comic too. And again, like, Afram is another one of those guys that like a lot of people don't know about because he's an actor. He's been on like Daredevil, and he's been on a whole bunch of shows on Netflix. They don't know that he's a writer, and they don't know how good he is. And I was super impressed with the script when he sent it to me. And we were like, listen, we need to get you an artist. And I totally believe that if someone is talented, you have to share them. So it's just like, Kieran is the guy on Condry, but he's also the guy on Legend of the Night Owl. And it's because we wanted these comics to kind of, they both take place in Brooklyn around the same time. So like, we're definitely interested at some point to see if these characters can live in the same universe. So Athos is definitely not in the same universe as Condry, but you never know. Maybe something could happen down the line, blah, blah, blah. But like, Legend of the Night Owl and Condry, it's a safe bet to say that these characters will cross paths at some time. So
that sounds awesome. I actually just looked up Afram's credits, and he was in a movie for TV called Battle Dogs, which is about a werewolf virus that is unleashed upon New York. That's not to make fun of him at all. But I always like reading stuff like that. He was also in a short called Incredibeards.
He does have an incredible beard.
And, I saw he actually followed me on Instagram shortly after you posted the image of us recording yesterday.
He's super savvy on social media. He's also I'm pretty sure a second degree black belt in Shotokan. So I mean, this is a martial artist, an actor, a stuntman, a writer. Like, yeah, we had to have him. We had to have this comic.
That is awesome. I am a huge fan of stuntmen and especially martial arts stuntmen. Like, I'm a giant Jackie Chan fan.
Oh, then you'll love this comic. Yeah.
Gonna definitely check that out then. Because I love that type of stuff a lot. And anyone who does there's a thing. This is a complete non sequitur, and this is a very quick side tangent. But I remember for years, and it still hasn't happened, but Jason Statham has been trying to get like stunts as a category for the Oscars, because right now stuntmen are literally putting their lives on the line for art, and they're not getting the credit they deserve.
Oh yeah, I agree.
That's a tangent for another day, but sure. I love people that do stuff like that. I used to take parkour classes, as weird as that sounds, and my teacher ended up, his name is Munir. He actually worked on Daredevil as well. He was a stuntman on Daredevil. They might. I have no idea what Munir's been up to since. He completely got rid of his Facebook like a year or two after he quit teaching the parkour class, but that's fucking cool. I'm going to have to check out that book. So that's called Legend of the Night Owl.
Yep, that's called Legend of the Night Owl. And you mentioned the job before, just like doing things because that's the job. And we actually have a comic called The Job. And
that is a hell of a transition. Keep on going.
Yeah. it's written by me, and it's illustrated by Kieran Quinn. It combines two of my favorite things in the entire world, which is old school action movies like Point Break and professional wrestling. So it's basically about a wrestler, Dan Dero, that cannot win a match. He is never booked to win a match. He's essentially a jobber. You know, he just goes out and he gets his ass handed to him in like 5 minutes. But the thing is, he's got like this great look. He's got this great body. He's got a great valet. His valet is beautiful. He's got great in-ring gear. Like, he looks like $1 million when he goes out there, but he just can't get a push. And there's always people like in the stands going, why does this guy never win matches? He looks like a superstar. And how does he pay for the money? How did he get this girl? And the answer to all of those questions is because he is a fantastic bank robber. So what he does is he has this simple, unassuming life. He's a superintendent of an apartment building, and he cleans, you know, clogged toilets and, you know, fixes circuit breakers during the day and stuff. And at night he wrestles. And during the day when it's slow and he doesn't have anything to do, him and his wife, who is also his valet, she's his getaway driver, and they take looks at like banks and ooh, maybe this bank would be nice to rob. Maybe we could rob this bank. And they've been doing it for years, and that this is the way that they're gonna get their picket fence. And this is the way they're gonna pay for their house in Long Island one day. You know, but it's like, if it was up to Dan, he wouldn't have to do this. He would just wrestle. But he's not getting that shot. But what ends up happening at some point, he does start to win. So now he's got to make a choice. Does he continue to rob the banks? Does he continue to wrestle? What does he do? So that's what the job is. The job is, like I said, it's basically like Mickey Rourke's The Wrestler meets the original Patrick Swayze, Keanu Reeves version of Point Break. And the reason why I'm saying Point Break is because every time he robs a bank, he wears a different luchador mask.
Okay, yeah.
So it's really freaking cool.
It's been a couple of years since I only saw Point Break once, and it's been a couple of years. They wear like Mask of the President, right?
Yes.
That's what I thought. I'm surprised. I'm honestly amazed I remembered that, because it was one movie that I only ever saw once. I'm getting kind of like Mr. and Mrs. Smith vibes from the way you described it. The whole backstabbing, they're both spies thing, they don't know it type of thing. But that sounds really cool. There's
definitely some of that. It's a lot of fun. It's just like somebody that read the script.
The entire month of December here on Still Loading has been sponsored by Geek Guild. Geek Guild is your go-to online store for all of your geeky needs. Whether it's costumes, home decor, and of course video games, Geek Guild has it all for you. Are you a fan of Crash Bandicoot? Because currently on Geek Guild, they are selling pillows that look like the TNT and Nitro boxes from those games. So go to geekguild.com and check out all they have to offer.
Well, the funny part with the job was, and this is all about like the pandemic and adapting and stuff. So what happened was, I have a friend that's an actor, and in like the fall of 2019, he was like, man, you've written all these books, you're doing voice acting, you're doing this, why don't you write a play? And I was like, I hate you. And he's like, why? And I'm like, when do you need it?
And it was like, now I'm going to have to do it. That's why, yeah, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it was like October. It was like right before Halloween. And he was like, could you get me something before like Thanksgiving? So he gave me a month to write like a 3-act play. And I was like, you got it. And it was just like, I just sat in my office at work and I was just like, I'm going to do this. And I did. And I sent it to him and he liked it. And we were talking to producers and all this stuff. And yeah, then COVID happened, you know? Mm-hmm. So then it was just like when I was getting ready to start Legacy, because I mean, we officially launched Legacy like November 5th. And we did that for a reason, because November 5th is an important day in comic book history. So it's just like, if you've ever seen V for Vendetta, like remember the 5th of November, you know,
I remember it because it's one of my brother's birthdays and they hate it because everyone says, remember the 5th of November. It's like, I know, yeah, every year.
I know, it's my birthday. So the thing was, we were doing a lot of the planning for Legacy like in August. So we're talking like 4 or 5 months before we started the Kickstarter. And I was just like, we need to do this book. Like we need to make the job. And I remember showing Kieran and John the script and they were like, yeah, man, let's do it. So it's actually being penciled and inked like right now, like as we speak. So it's just like, it's super cool. Like I cannot wait to see the first couple of like the first section of this story come to life. So I know so many professional wrestlers that are like, can you put me in the comic? Can I wrestle Dan? Can I kick Dan's ass? Can I do this? Can I do that? So it's just like, because I mean, I've done ring announcing for professional wrestling before. I speak to professional wrestlers all the time. I've covered professional wrestling for 15 years. So a lot of that is going to find its way into the narrative. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's like, if you like old school 80s action movies, you're going to love it. If you love professional wrestling, you'll love it. And like Beverly is by far like one of the coolest characters. So that's Dan's wife. She's his valet like in wrestling, but she's also his getaway driver. So she's just like super smart. She can read people and she's hot as hell. Like it's like, I think she's like the prettiest character that like Kieran has ever drawn. You know, it's just like when I posted pictures of her on Instagram and Facebook, people were like, yo, she's cute. I'm like, she's supposed to be. Like she is supposed to be like just drop dead gorgeous, you know, and he did a great job of bringing her to life.
You should have been like, she's fake, what's wrong with you people?
I'm
just joking.
So funny. No, I know. It's so funny that you said that, because I remember like probably like 15 years ago I was sitting in Chris Claremont's house. So if you don't know who Chris Claremont is, he wrote some of the best X-Men comics of all time. He's one of the greatest.
I actually do know about that because my boss is a huge X-Men fan.
So I'm sitting in his house and it's like there's comics just stacked on top of like comics and like it's insane. There's like inks that are out there, like one of a kind drawings, and he's just like chilling out. He doesn't care. He has no idea like what's all around him and stuff. And he's talking about Wolverine and Jean Grey and Iceman and Cyclops, and he's referring to them by their first name. So he's just like, oh, when Bobby meets Jean and Jean meets Logan. And I'm just like, this guy knows that they're fake, right? Like I'm saying that in my head, despite the fact that I'm a huge comic book fan, but it was like the way he was discussing them was like that they were actually living, breathing people. And it's so funny because like I thought he was crazy. And then it's just like the more fiction I write, the more I realize that like if I don't feel that way about my characters, then no one is going to. And that's what great fiction is all about. Great fiction is about the suspense of disbelief, you know? So yeah, to me, all of these characters, you know, Dan, Beverly, Condry, Sarita, like all of these characters, they're like totally real to me. So it's just so funny.
That's important because if you, even if it's something where, say, I think that's important because it does affect the writing, even if it's not necessarily how do you expect other people to care about it. It's important because it makes writing more realistic. It makes it that much more grounded, because if you know these characters, then you can write for these characters. It's one of the reasons, and this is to not to insult the man, but like Kevin Smith, I love his movies. He's one of my favorite directors, but a lot of his characters are based off of people he knows, because that makes it a lot easier for him to write. And that's not even with that said, I'm a shitty writer. There's no way I could do what he does. So that's not to take anything away from him, but it's like it because you know the person, because you know the character, and that you treat them as a real person when you write it, you're going to treat your writing as a real person. I think that's super important to make everything much more believable and just much more engaging, because otherwise you get those that disconnect between people, readers, and whatever medium it's from, readers, viewers, watchers, whatever, they're going to see that disconnect at some point.
It's like I told you before, like, and it's nothing against my work for The Minds Behind the Games, because like, I mean, those books are in Harvard, Yale, Stanford, UCLA, like University of Michigan, like they are in over 130 college libraries. I love those books. Like, I want to be buried with those books. They mean so much to me. But it's like writing the chapter is more like making sure that I tell that person's story as correctly and fairly as possible. And it's just like when I'm writing a comic book, it's so different. Like there's a part in Conjury number one where this woman, Sarita, is walking home from like the supermarket. And as she's walking home, she doesn't know, but like Conjury is stalking her because Conjury's homeless and he wants to eat. So he's going to like scare the shit out of her and like take her food and, you know, and go on with his night. But like the thing is, like, she's walking and she's like talking out loud and she's talking to her dead husband. And she's just talking about like, man, I really miss you. Like, you were such a pain in the ass. But like, I miss the shit out of you. I miss you every day. And your son misses you and blah, blah, blah. And she's just having this really like human conversation. And I had this whole scene drawn out of her like walking home and him following her, but I didn't have that story like yet. And I remember I had decided, you know what, I'm going to go for a walk. It was like 11 o'clock at night and I decided to go for a walk in Brooklyn by myself. And I just found myself talking to my mom, and my mom passed away like 3 years ago. And I just had this long conversation with my mom. And so like, I found a way to like make that happen in the comic. So it's just like, that's totally like something Kevin Smith would do, you know, just trying to make a character be as relatable as possible, because like your experiences in your life are naturally relatable because you're a human being, you know? So it's just like, if you've experienced it, somebody else has experienced it too. So it's just so funny to me, because I've had people go like, oh, are you worried writing an African-American character, or do you feel like it's harder to write like an elderly African-American woman as like one of your main characters? And I'm like, no, because she's a human being. You know, like, she's a human being. And the thing is too, like, I'm from Brooklyn, so it's just like, I don't see people's color, ethnicity, sexual preference. I don't care about any of that stuff. I look at somebody and I go, does this person have an interesting story? Can I write about them? Or does this person do something really cool that like I can incorporate into like what I'm doing? Like, is this person somebody that like I can share my creativity with? If not, then I move on. It has nothing to do with like who they are, where they're from, the languages that they speak, the people that they decide to share their bed with. Like, none of that stuff matters to me. So being able to incorporate all of that stuff into my fiction and also have it be like a huge part of like the Legacy Comics mission about just writing organic and real characters. You know, like, just writing characters that don't feel pandered because of like things that are going on politically and stuff like that. Like, we will never, ever do that. So it's just super important to me that like, because I'm writing 3 out of the 5 series, that like I make that like a huge part of like our mission statement, that we will never pander, that we will never just like write characters for the sake of writing characters, that like, of course, we're going to have characters of all shapes and sizes, genders, sexual preference, all that stuff. It's going to be in there, but it's going to be natural. It's never going to be like just one day, all of a sudden, this one character is this or this one character is that. Like, there's going to be serious thought put into the...
You're not going to do what And I think there's a fine line between inclusivity and pandering, you know, like you, when you have an existing character, you don't want to just change it up just for the sake of getting brownie and points with a specific audience.
I'll give you like a clear example. So like the stuff that's going on with Superman now, I'm totally fine with that because that's a new character. People that don't know anything about comics are like, Superman's gay. And it's like, no, Clark Kent, Kal-El is not. His son, who is the new Superman, who has taken the mantle from his father, is. It's a new character. It's a part of his origin. I'm totally fine with that. That does not bother me at all. But then it's just like when they take a character that's existed for like 40, 50 years, and then they just like, they slap a tag on him that was like never explored before. Then I kind of go, oh, why'd you do that? You know,
That wouldn't bother me unless if it's done well, but it's hard to do that well without getting that pandering vibe across.
Exactly. Like
it's possible. And there is a whole stink with the new James Bond movie. Did you see the new Bond movie by any chance?
No, I haven't.
It's good. It's worth watching. Well, there is. Did you see Spectre?
Yes.
Okay, yes. So this mild spoilers for people who have not seen Spectre, but at the end of Spectre, Bond basically decides to quit and drives away with the love interest of the movie, Madeline. Mm-hmm. And in the new one, No Time to Die, there's a new 007, not a new James Bond, but there is a new 007. He quit, so obviously, like any job, they replaced him, and it was played by, I am blanking on her name, and it's going to drive me nuts, but so I'll look that up real fast. But people were up in arms, like, oh my gosh, you're making James Bond like a female now, like that's ridiculous. I'm like, no, they Lashana Lynch, that's the actress's name.
Yeah, she's great.
She was fantastic in it. She was really good. And it's like, I could understand that when it's like, especially Bond, where they've at least, you know, Bond historically is a sexist, awful human being. He's a broken individual. And in the older movies, they didn't really, you know, it was of the times. I loved all the movies. This is not me
going
on a rant as to the problematic stuff in it, which there is a ton. But in the newer ones with Daniel Craig, they really kind of address it. They show like he is a broken individual, and it like doesn't mean he doesn't have redeeming qualities. It doesn't mean he can't learn. And they kind of address all of Bond's problematic past with Daniel Craig's Bond to a degree. So like you can still do that. You can still have those like bring it up to modern sensibilities.
Absolutely.
Things with old characters without having
it's to like you have to put the work in.
Yeah. Oh, and absolutely.
It's like,
and don't get me wrong, they fucked up Spectre's plot line, but they've still put the work in with Craig. I hate Spectre. So that's a rant for another day though.
It's okay. I'll give you an example like from video games, like the evolution of Kratos in God of War.
Yeah.
I love it.
So good. It's so good.
So it's like when you have people complain like, oh, the games used to be so kick-ass, now they're all slow moving, and it's all like about him as a person who cares, like blah blah blah. Let's see more girls, like some boobies and blah blah blah. I'm just like, he's an old man now. It's different. You know, like the same way when you first started playing God of War, you were like 17, 18, and you were playing kind of like a Castlevania, like a really sexy, bloody, you know, Castlevania, you know, and now it's morphed into something much different. But the work was put in. It never feels forced. You know, I love that character. I love the exposition of that character, and I've always felt connected to that character, you know, so just like that's really like what we're all about. We want our stories to like really be organic, and we want to put the work in. We never want to just like kill off a character for shock value and stuff like that. We want people to sit down and read these and be like, damn, that was good. You know, like that was really good. So that's kind of like, I think I mentioned like 4 out of the 5 books, but like, that's kind of like, that's what we're going for. Like just really solid narrative, but like we also want some kick-ass art too, and I think we've got that. We've got 2 artists right now, John and Kieran, and we're gonna be looking to add more people moving forward, but like as of right now I couldn't be happier with the both of them.
Now, have we talked about Croom at all yet? I don't know if we've talked about that one yet. That was the one where it, to tie it into video games, to, since this is a video game podcast, Croom was based off of an independent game that you were working on. And has that game been 100% like canceled now, or is it just on hiatus because of the pandemic?
Yeah, it's on hiatus because of the pandemic. It's basically like, I would say it's probably around 30% finished. But the thing is, the story has been finished for 2 years. The design document has been complete for 2 years, you know? So it's just like when, you know, you can't get, you know, your animator and your engineer to like do stuff because of pandemic. I mean, I was just the writer. So they asked me to bang out the story, and then I was doing voice acting on it and stuff like that. And I was doing a lot of testing, and like my stuff was the easy stuff. Like Pete Paquette and Jeff Paquette were putting, like, they were working their asses off, and they have full-time jobs. So like I would never be mad at them. Like I totally get like why the game is on hiatus, but I mean, it's really, the game's really good. I mean, it basically plays like the original Legend of Zelda if Link had a gun, you know. It's the same top down view as Legend of Zelda. There's so many things that are similar to the Legend of Zelda, but like he's got a sword that is more like Ninja Gaiden style, and he's got a really kick ass gun. So it's just like the opponents, his enemies move a little bit faster than they do in Legend of Zelda, but like it's definitely dungeon style exploration, retro style. And the music, Jeff Paquette's music is amazing. I mean, Pete Paquette was senior animator for BioShock Infinite. He's worked on Madden 18. He's the keyframe animator at Overwatch at Blizzard right now.
Okay.
I mean, he's amazing. So like, I mean, the way that all started was, I was on his podcast because he pre-ordered the Minds Behind the Games, and we were talking about The Padre, which is one of the games that like I'm the main voice actor.
That was your first voice acting gig, right?
That was my first voice acting gig, yeah. And he was like, "Oh, you know, you're really talented. Like, if you ever want to do anything again, you know, let me know." And like live on his podcast, I was like, "I'm letting you know," you know, because I didn't want to be a one-hit wonder. I wanted to do more stuff. And then like 2 weeks went by, and then he messages me and he gave me like the skeleton for a story that was not Croom. It was this like first person shooter, Cold Treason in Space. And we wrote that, and then we had team members from Sunset Overdrive and God of War on that team. And then that game kind of like fell apart, but the story was written. Then we were going to do like a mobile game that took place in the same universe, and then that got killed. And then we were just like, you know what, let's just do Croom, because that was always like in the background. And Pete gave me like, again, like the skeleton, like, oh, I want it to be like this. Like, I want the game to play like this, but like, I want you to write the backstory. I want you to name all the characters. Yeah. I want, and I did. And I would say that like Croom is kind of like a combination of all of the amazing 80s games that like I grew up playing, like Mega Man, like Sonic the Hedgehog, like Legend of Zelda, Blaster Master. So this is the thing. Croom's design document is 6 levels. So Croom is going to be, Croom the comic is going to be a 7-issue comic. So issue 0 is only going to be like 8 pages. It's only going to be like the sneak peek of the backstory and stuff. But issues 1 through 6 are going to be represented by a level in the game. So issue one is going to be the first level. Issue 2 is going to be the second level, blah, blah, blah. So each issue is going to have more backstory, exploration, and is going to end in a boss fight. I mean, I don't think there's any comic book that's ever been created that is going to be like keystroke for keystroke the same as the design document of the game. It's going to be really freaking cool. I'm super excited for it.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I like that. I'll be looking forward to checking that out. I mean, just looking at the website too for Legacy, I'm amazed at the amount, like, because this is a relatively new, like, you just launched the Kickstarter like not even a month ago, right? It's barely been going for a month 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
And this website, like, it is active. There is constant updates on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's like one of the things that I really felt like is going to separate us from other independent comic book companies. So like the site is updated two or three times a day. The socials are updated like five or six times a day, because it's like, I come from that content creator background, and it's just like, I looked at all of these other independent comic book companies, and all they had is like, if you go to like, you know, I'm not going to name companies, I'm not going to do that, but if you go to
you don't need it.
Yeah, if you go to most indie comic book companies, it's just like a shop, like, oh, buy our comics. And we have a shop that like right now has tons of merch and stuff like that, but we believe in like giving access to our fans from our creator. So like, we show work in progress, we keep our backers updated on Kickstarter like crazy, you know, there's about our stretch goals. Like, we have interviews with our creators all the time. Like, perfect example, this podcast, when this podcast airs, we will link on our official site to this podcast, and we will tell people like, listen to Pat talk about Legacy Comics on Still Loading, because my whole thing is, it's like, you're taking the time to invest in us and help us grow, so we want to help you grow too. And it's just like, the comic book companies that I've worked at before and the magazines that I've worked at before, they didn't handle social media properly, like, at all. It's like, if you're interviewed by somebody, you got to show love. You got to be like, I'm going to be on this show. Then when you're on the show, you got to say, I'm on the show. And then after the show, you got to take a clip and say, this was one of my favorite parts. Like, you have to do that. You have to build the community. So it's just like, that's one of the things that we're going to do. So like, I'm not sure if you saw, but everyone that writes for us, I mean, we do a press release and say that they've joined the team. We do a video of them and say that their legacy built and stuff. And That came from like watching professional wrestling, you know, like whenever AEW signs somebody, they're like, you know, Big Show is All Elite, CM Punk is All Elite. And my whole thing is like, we're going to run this company like a professional publishing house, but we're going to promote like a professional wrestling company. We're going to make our writers and our artists feel like they are rock stars, like that they're superstars, and we're going to get their work out to as many people as possible. So that's kind of like the method behind the madness of having a website that updates so often. I mean, it's a lot of work. So like, John is the guy that designed the look and feel of the website. And then the daily content, that's all written by me. And then like, most of the art you'll see is either John or Kieran's, or like, sometimes we have a really good variant artist, Valentin Quinones, who submits stuff to us from time to time. But if we need a graphic, I'll go to John. Oh, dude, we just got 70 backers on Kickstarter. Can you do a graphic? Or, oh, we're going to announce the trading card set today. Can you make a graphic for me? So it's just like, I could not do this by myself. John could not do this by himself. But if you put the two of us together and then you add in Kieran and Afram to the mix, we really have something special. And we're super excited to like get these books out. Like, these books are legit being worked on right now, and they're going to be finished before the end of the Kickstarter. So like, we are mega hyped about the future. All five of these books, we feel like somebody can connect to, whether you love video games, whether you love professional wrestling, whether you love like gritty noir narrative, whether you like strong females. Like, I mean, we have like three out of the five books, we have three super strong kick-ass females that like really drive the narrative. So it's just like, we really feel like we have something for everyone here.
That's great, man. I mean, I love just seeing friends do cool shit. I know that's a really generic sentence, but
yeah, it's all right.
It's fun to see, and it's great to see how much it's been really interesting since we've gotten to know each other, just to see your trajectory of just the amount of stuff you keep adding to your plate. Like, you already had a full plate, and now you're like, well, here's a big old pile of mashed potatoes I want to add to this too.
Yeah,
just to mix it all in. But
it's so funny too, because it's like, I would say, because the Kickstarter was funded in like 5 hours, like 2 days later, I was doing some voiceover for Mega Cat Studios on like trailers and a couple of their games and stuff, which I can't really talk about because of NDAs, but like, I have a really great relationship with Mega Cat Studios. I love those guys. Those are people that did Coffee Crisis, and they have so many like really fun games coming, so many fun games that they've done
before.
Looks
like they're making a game for the Playdate.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff they're doing.
The Playdate looks so fucking cool.
They're doing a lot of cool stuff, and like, their Evercade stuff is amazing, you know. But like I said, like 2 days after the Kickstarter, they're like, oh, do you want to do like a weekly this week in gaming history, and we'll promote your books and stuff like that. And I'm just like, well, what would it entail? And they're like, oh, well, you know, we would send you a script and you would have to do it every week. And I'm just like, oh my God, I so don't have the time for this, but yes, I will do it. You know, and it's like the video that aired a couple of days ago, like I was literally singing Bare Necessities in the video because one of the games was the Jungle Book on Game Boy Color, and I was just singing Bare Necessities, and I was just like, this is so much fun. So like, man, at the end of the day, I'm gonna do as much as I possibly can for as long as I possibly can. Like, I feel like if I was gonna break down, I would have broken down 15 years ago. You know, because it's just like I was doing, a lot of people will look at me now and they're like, oh, wow, like all of this is just happening all of a sudden. I'm just like, I've been writing for newspapers, magazines for 15 years. I've been doing the voice acting stuff now for like 5 years. Like I've been writing books now for like 6 or 7. So it's just like I've been teaching college for 15 years. This is I literally feel like I'm in my prime, you know, and I feel like this is the time when I have to do all this stuff while my kids are young. You know, while, you know, they don't feel like, you know, I'm not doing like everything that I need to do, which I mean, you know that I am because I was late for this podcast because I was putting my son to bed, you know? So it's just like, I'm never going to run from like another cool opportunity. As long as I feel like I have no problem telling somebody no. And I mean, I've told a couple of people this week, no, that they wanted me to edit their books and stuff. And I'm just like, listen, yeah, I don't have the time to do that. But if I feel like it's something new and something fun and something that's going to make me better, I'm totally down to do it. So it's like now I grew up reading people like Brian Michael Bendis who were writing 3 comic books a month. And I just thought it was impossible. And now with Legacy, I'm writing 3 books a month, you know? So it's just like, wow, you know, at 38, I've done voice acting for, you know, over a dozen games. I have got 6 books finished, working on my 7th. I'm a full-time college professor with tenure, you know, mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm doing everything that I always wanted to do. And the thing that's scary is like, I'm still mega hungry. You know, I want to do more. Now my goal is like, I want to get these comics out to as many people as possible. And then the thing is too, I really feel like I said off mic, but I'll tell your listeners now, like Condry is totally in the works to become a video game. I'm talking to, you know, a publisher right now based out of the UK that's working on 2 different versions of Condry for 2 different consoles. They've got music already. They've got character sprites. They've got so many. And like, it's happening, you know, it's like, I would love a Netflix series one day, you know, but again, it goes back to what we were talking about before that, like, I want it done right. I don't want it done lazy, you know, and I'm here to do all of this stuff as right as possible. You know, I think if like anyone's ever read any of my books, they can tell that like it's not cold in, you know, it's not just like me saying, oh, well, Grand Theft Auto is the greatest game of all time, blah, 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 blah. So now it's in my book. And it's like, no, I actually found the guy that programmed it on the PlayStation and exchanged that poor man, like, over 50 emails, hours of Facebook conversations, you know, to make sure I got his story correct, you know? So it's like the same amount of tender love and care that I put into my nonfiction goes into my fiction too. So I'm super excited to see where this all goes.
Well, for the listeners out there, they can find your Kickstarter. You can just Google Legacy Comics Kickstarter most likely, but at kickstarter.com, if you just search Legacy Comics, that's COMIX Comics. So to check that out, and it's going on for 43 more days as of this recording. Mm-hmm. When this actually gets released, I don't know, but it'll be out. I promise you before your Kickstarter is over. Where can the people find you online, and where can they find Legacy Comics online besides the Kickstarter, obviously?
Yeah, so if you go to legacycomics.com, so COMIX.com, you go there and you have daily updated content, interviews with the creators, links to the podcast that we're on, works in progress from our artist, all sorts of cool stuff. I mean, we even have a cosplayer. Like, I have a guy that's been dressing up like Condry for the past couple of weeks, and he's done some amazing stuff. Legacycomics.com. It's just a super fun place to go. On Instagram, we're at legacy_comics. On Facebook, you could just search Legacy Comics. It comes up right away. Like, all of those platforms are updated daily. Like, I've worked for companies before that have said that they're a writer first company. I've worked at companies before that are like, they're an artist first company. Like Legacy Comics is a fan first company. We want to connect with our fans as often as possible. We will answer you quicker on social media than any other comic book company in the entire world. You have my word on that. So, Facebook, Legacy Comics, Instagram and Twitter, Legacy_comics. And yeah, man, let's just go on an adventure together. That's basically what we want to do.
All right. So go check them out on all their social medias, on their website, on their Kickstarter. Go consider supporting it because they are writing some kick-ass comics and it's definitely worth checking out and supporting. As per usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. If you want to email me, StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, give it a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcast app you use. That helps more people find the show, and it makes me feel warm and fuzzy, which is always nice. if you want to support the show other ways, Patreon.com/StillLoadingPod. For $1 a month, you'll get the episodes a couple days early and at a higher bit rate. And also access to a patron-exclusive Discord. If you want to go to the $5 tier, you'll get all that stuff I mentioned before, as well as 2 bonus episodes a month, usually shorter mini segments. But at the time we're recording this, there's already 2 out there. By the time you hear this, there's going to be at least 1 other that comes out. The most recent one I did was a retro magazine, or the most recent one as of this recording was a retro magazine review where I went through an old PlayStation, official PlayStation magazine from May of 98. And just learned that they like to troll some of their readers by telling them there's going to be a Jerry Springer game coming out, which obviously was not real. And they make fun of someone who believed it, which is kind of interesting to read.
That's great.
But you can go find more stuff like that. So patreon.com/stillloadingpod. And of course, the most important shout out is the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of kids receiving inpatient care at hospitals. So if you want to go support them, go to bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. And that will do it for this special bonus episode of the Still Loading Podcast. Pat, thank you once again for joining me.
Yeah, no problem, man. A pleasure as always. Thank you for taking the time out for me.
It was my pleasure. It's always great talking to you. And thank you all for listening. I will see you all next time.